Hey, well, welcome to the commentary track for Prey. I'm the movie's director, Dan Trachtenberg, and I'm here with...
Hi, I'm Jeff Cutter, cinematographer.
Amber Midthunder, I play Naru.
The first thing we should mention, actually, is that logo at the very end of the fanfare. It went invisible. The sound dropped out and it went invisible, like Predator cloaking, and was so cool.
I missed that. I really enjoyed that.
Although, I know.
I understand. We fought for it. We fought for it, actually.
We fought
loved
for it
so much.
And then they gave it to us. And then at the last second, we added that line in the beginning, the prayer, the beginning of telling a story in Comanche. And it felt like the tone was more serious and felt good. And it felt like, oh, the cloaking felt too genre, you know, to like, oh, tune in for Predator, when we were kind of saying, actually, this movie is, you know, doing more things.
Cool. Didn't it have the lasers, too?
It did, yeah. But maybe it'll make its way in another movie. So.
Someday.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Any other movie can have that idea for free.
The opening, it was one-way scripted. And if you remember, it originally started on an opening shot of like a bug that got eaten by a fish, and the fish got picked up by a hawk, and the hawk was shot down.
Yeah.
And then we were in the scene with you and your brother and...
I loved that
and
opening.
All the guys. The women in the background are composited in there.
They were not there in the day.
And the water was not blue.
And the water was not blue. We did. Yeah,
wait, actually?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was brown. There was all the runoff at that time.
Oh.
And it was all brown. And then in the DI, Cody Baker fixed it for us.
Also, those flowers are more blue? Or
they also were not there.
Okay.
Is that right? No.
Yeah.
I don't remember them being there.
Yeah, we can't remember because you were digging up.
Yeah, because there were only like three that were there.
And we were trying to make it special that the orange was different than the...
That's right.
Yeah, when you do that later.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that and being like, I don't remember those people there.
This was the first day of shooting.
It was. And I remember... Yeah. I think I remember the crew being very confused at what was going on. Because we had so many different iterations of, like, how to throw the tomahawk and, like, when I was going to miss and when it was going to hit. Also figuring out the logistics of, like, because we had so many different versions and they have different weights and they don't actually stick in the tree because they're not actually made of stone. And I remember the crew, there was, like, this energy that everybody was like, oh, my God, is she awful? Is she, like, really bad at this? Is this movie going to be terrible? I remember thinking, like, oh, this is an interesting way to start.
Like, the expectation was you were supposed to be nailing it every
time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, not, yeah,
and
yeah,
I could tell that they were like, oh, no.
I think that was in your head.
No, because I was told later.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because we had so many people in the film also who this was like their first movie. Like we had that internship program.
Right.
And so I remember somebody had asked another person, like, why are they doing it so many times? And that other person had been like, well, because she's supposed to hit the tree and she just can't quite get it.
I feel like we should say something about Coco. Although, actually, ironically, this is the one scene
where she was allowed to be herself?
No, where this is not Coco.
Oh, it's not?
Yeah,
oh.
This is this one thing. We had another dog that was better at running, which sounds ironic because Coco was such a runner.
Yeah.
But I think it was Tofu was the name of this other dog playing Suddy.
But this is definitely Coco.
This is Coco now.
Yeah, yeah.
The star.
Yeah.
Yeah,
female dog.
Loves her.
Yes, female dog.
I loved this scene, this moment, this music, and and your vibe. It's a very winning moment in the movie where I feel like it locks people. Like, okay, I'll watch her. I'll watch her in this, you know, and this dog. And everyone says, this dog better not die.
The moment in the test screenings where I feel like everyone really connected with Naru and was just here for her adventure. This scene did it, I mm-hmm. think, for everybody.
Big time.
Why did we keep Suddy a boy when Coco was a girl?
We don't ever say. Suddy means
I guess
dog.
That's true.
Yeah, Suddy in Comanche means dog.
Yeah.
We loved the idea, before we even knew the Comanche translation, we just loved the idea of someone calling their dog dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was just like the fun of like, oh, I like to call our dog dog. Like, it's a cute cool. name for a dog in a movie. This bit, this was also not in the original opening.
Yep.
And this is kind of what sold me, having this idea of going to title here. And for the longest time, it was like Western themed, like an old classic Hollywood title. To see the like copyright at the bottom and all that stuff is very old fashioned. Oh. And then it came to a certain point where it's like, well, but the movie's not a Western, so this is saying the wrong thing. So we, you know, we affected it. But we originally opened on you guys down by the water and then the hunt. And there was no title situation, but that kind of sold me on the restructuring of the order.
Mm-hmm. I love the opening.
Yeah.
I was actually recently back home with my family, and they just put the movie on for, like, the kids. And this is, like, my cousins and stuff. We were in the other room, and they were watching it in the living room. And I saw when the title comes on, and I forgot about it. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's something cool about it.
I like it.
You were sleeping.
I was waiting for it to circle back. Now you're going to have to cross the
road. And this was also tailored a little bit. Originally, all the other guys, all the other hunters were here in the scene. It was setting up a story about the drama between everyone and wasn't as focused as we realized we needed to be on the sibling relationship and sort of your drive and what you're after, so.
Ready for my Katamia.
You really think you're ready? You want to hunt something that's hunting you.
There are so many, like, relationships and dynamics in this movie. You could just sit and, like, explore any of those. You know, it's, like, such a rich environment.
Just want to point out on the horses, Jane Myers, our movie's producer, is riding one of those horses.
Mm-hmm. And Cody Big Tobacco, right?
Oh, is he the other guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Cody Big Tobacco is, like, star horse rider, like...
Indian Relay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He, like, wins.
He's a champion. Yeah. He's, like, one of the best Indian Relay riders, like, ever.
Wow.
And he's one of the actors in the movie. Also, that was a real fish. I just want to say that.
Was it really?
Yes.
Not right now, though. Can't be, because he would have gone for it, no?
I don't... No, that was, like, part of the problem.
The magic of movies. We should mention, remember when we thought this was just coverage? We didn't think this was going to be one take?
Yes.
And Angela tried. You tried very hard to, like,
put,
you know, have, you know... Yeah. I'm like, it's actually just works just playing it.
It's the fact that you stay in the shot for that long that actually allows the film to breathe, and I think that's why it works so well.
Yeah, I agree. I just was nervous that it wasn't holding, you know? Mm. And the dog looks at the camera a couple times, too. I was worried if it takes a while. This is, that's fake.
That was fake.
Yeah, you cut real, and then we swapped it.
Because she couldn't
She wasn't in the shot.
So she had to pick up the fake one.
Right.
Because otherwise she would eat the real one. But there was one time that she stole it. Like, as I was cutting it, she just bit the tail and ran away.
And everyone, like,
and took it, and everybody freaked out because the bones would hurt her. And one of the times I was walking, she just grabbed it out of my hand also.
Well, to be fair, wasn't she just recently adopted from a shelter? This is not a trained... I mean, she was by the time she was in the movie, but...
She was not a movie dog before. They
ish.
Had.
It was like ish.
They only had. Yeah, we keep saying not trained, but actually props to her trainers, Ray Beal in particular, for only having a couple months to get her into shape, and it was very challenging. But she comes off great in the movie, obviously, and is an awesome dog. Red
root with. I almost got a deer with it.
You can't eat almost.
My girl.
You are good at so many other things. Why do you want to hunt?
because you all think that I can't.
Fun fact, this was one of my audition scenes.
Yes, in fact, it was a scene that you guys did wordless, an audition scene that you did wordless as well.
This is the one.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
This is our first, this is my audition scene, and then the test scene that we did in English Comanche and the famous No Words.
No Words, which made the Amber choice undeniable.
That was cool.
For the movie. Yeah, it was really fun.
That was a really cool moment.
Yeah.
That was when I described, I think, also our ability to, like, not speak to each other.
Yeah.
You and I.
Yeah.
Because I remember you just, like, walked around the corner, and I was still standing there, and you just stopped walking, and we looked at each other, and you were like, that, and you, like, nodded, and I was like, yeah, that was, and you were like, yeah. I was like, okay, cool.
So this was a fun little, this was from a different scene.
Something from nothing?
Yeah.
That's what I would call this scene.
Yeah. Yeah, there was used to be a montage at one point in the movie of the Predator assembling all of his weapons. That shot came at the end of that montage. And then we were restructuring the movie and wanted to introduce the Predator earlier. I think, Angela, you admit, you know, like, well, we could use that shot at the end with him rising up and just extend it and add a cool Predator ship floating by.
Yeah, it was pretty much just an empty shot piece of film for a long time that originally occurred much later in the film, but it's just repurposed, as many things were in this movie. and then with the help of visual effects, turned it into a Predator.
Those were not my hands.
Yeah, those were little pickups to emphasize so people could track the flower.
That was from one of our reshoots, right?
Yeah. Wait, do you remember that those weren't your hands, or were you looking at them just then going, those aren't my hands?
Every time I see it, I have the thought of, like, I don't think those are my hands. And then I remember. I'm like, are those my hands? And then I remember that you told me they're not.
Itze! Hina!
A lion. He took Pui. You gotta find him.
So right there, we cut out a giant scene with Julian, our war chief, who was awesome, giving a real, like, drill sergeant-esque pep talk to the hunters to go out there and kick ass. And it opened on a shot pushing it on his back with all the scars. It was super cool. But the movie just needed the momentum to get into this.
It's funny seeing even the stuff from the beginning, because we had mixed in the reshoot. Mm-hmm. Like, there are pieces of the scene at the river. It's so funny that that was the first day of shooting. Then we did half of that scene also, just, like, intercut with each other from reshoots that were, like, 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Or 10 months later. Some crazy amount of time later. In a different country.
Yeah. Yeah.
A totally different time.
Yeah. When you were coming down that thing, and I was like, you gotta do something cool with the thing. And you were like, can't even walk down this... You know, like, and all of us are, like, crawling to get up just these little mini hills. And you're like, yeah, I'll be cool. And you're, like, trying not to fall.
I was like, for sure.
Yeah.
It was one of the many times that we started where you would be like, just try to not fall down.
Definitely didn't make it easy by always picking treacherous terrain
for
every scene.
I didn't want to. I didn't want to go into those places, but we had to.
You have to find that cat now.
I will.
I know. Because you have to.
This was born out of the original opening of the movie, where we were sort of doing this chain of the natural world, that the Predator comes in looking for the Alpha, and became better suited tracking the Predator alongside Nadu, putting the sequence in the middle and then making it all more menacing. There's a little bit of a background plate that we shot, but it's for the most part CG.
I like that made it its way back in there.
Yeah.
Because I really liked that. I remember when you told me that wasn't the opening anymore. I was bummed.
Because you need concept to be in the movie. It's very much a thematic notion, who's on top.
Yeah.
And who's seen as on top versus who actually is on top.
Oh, good. Dog found shit.
We're not looking for wolves.
It's not wolf.
You see that crushed
the bowl? CG leaf in the foreground. Nice. The whole time in the frame, you could see there was already blood on that leaf, and I really wanted that to be a reveal.
Mm-hmm.
So they added a leaf in the foreground to not give it away. Yeah.
This is a definite throwback to the original here.
He's breathing.
Petzer.
Is this Sam?
Yeah, that's Sam.
We told the actor playing Puhi on the ground that Amber had actually eaten the flowers, and so that he had to do that as well, and he actually does ingest.
He ate them. Because they were technically edible, but technically. I was like, I'm not going to eat this.
Yeah.
And so I took it, and he was like, do I eat them or no? Like, what do I do? And I was like, well, I ate mine. And so I think you got to eat them. Like, that's how it works in the world. In this, like, predator world, you have to eat them. And he was like, I do? And I was like, yeah. And I was feeding them to him, so I gave it to him. And then I, like, chugged the water down, and he swallowed them. And then I was like, by the way, I spit mine out.
Oh, you did
yeah,
tell
him? Yeah, I told him later.
Yeah, you put them in. I mean, really?
They're in there.
I'm trying to save him.
Yeah, and you can see him actually eating them.
And not enjoying.
It's funny because he was chewing, and I was like, don't chew them. But then I think I told him, like, after the first take.
Oh, okay.
Because I felt bad.
Yeah.
It's so glamorous.
I can handle the lion.
It's not just the lion. Why is Puhi alive? There's something that scared the cat away from its den.
I've got this. Stay with Puhi. He needs your help too.
We don't have time to waste talking. We need to get him home.
Manam Soy.
We shot this, like, backwards or something, right?
This was the first scene we did with torches. And we had hidden these little LEDs in the torches. Mm-hmm. Because there's a couple other wide shots coming. And I remember telling Amber and everyone else, you've got to hold these torches a certain way. You've got to hold them so that they light your face, but they don't go to the camera. And it was a bit of an ordeal. Mm. Then we did this scene, but the other scene was first. And I remember overhearing Amber say, again with the torches. Now I got all... but for the acting scenes, we didn't use the LEDs because I didn't want it to be something that interfered. So we
only had... Because of that comment?
No.
Because she's such a problem.
To be fair to Amber, I don't want it to be something that, you know, distracts from acting. But in the other scenes, I felt like you're just running. It wasn't like intense acting.
Well,
so.
It's funny. I think that intense acting would have been easier because what it was it's coming up. Corvin goes.
Yeah, you're
Paka.
Chasing after.
We're like running up that hill, and then I go and I'm chasing after him, and I'm sprinting up that hill behind him, and you couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
So it's like
right.
You have the fire and you're running, and the fire's like face level, so you're running and the flame is like next to you or like in front of you. The LED is in your face, mm-hmm. but that meant we couldn't see anything. So running up the hill and you're like, just sprint as fast as you can. And so I'm trying, like, we're like sprinting, trying not to fall. And I'm like running. And then you're like, also, I don't want to see the LED. I can see the LED. So I was like, is this a lot of things happening all at once?
But we were nicer.
Yeah.
Than that.
Sort of.
Just kidding. Yeah. Yes. It was not you yelling, but it was because you were far away.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
So the yelling was not meanness. It was
right.
Just that everybody
here.
Distance.
Distance.
The function of your location.
Exactly. Also, it was like, you know, what, 3 o'clock in the morning.
This evolved a little bit too. There used to be this shimmering predator there, and then we rearranged things and it was too soon to. The predator should not be this close to them, and, you know.
Right, so here you can't see where you're going at all. It makes sense. Now I understand.
Yeah, I get it.
But such cool shots, so it was worth it.
Yeah. So I got up there, and I was like, Corvin, can you see anything? And he was like, no, I feel like I'm going to fall.
So all this stuff was right next to the tall grass field, which allowed us to shoot, because we wanted the whole tall grass sequence to be at dusk, and dusk is only a matter of hours and not enough time to actually shoot a scene. We, I think cleverly, figured out a way in which we could just do two scenes over multiple nights, so we had multiple, you know, at-bats at shooting a scene at dusk. So it was like a week, five dusk shots, you know, five dusk setups, and then five, you know, bites of this apple.
The tall grass is the one later.
Yeah, where you guys are hiding in the grass, and, right. And you and
the one from the Harlan. Trailer.
Yeah, the one in the first teaser, exactly.
Okay.
That we're hunting in here.
What do we talk about this, Jeff? This little shot, this tree, the arguments?
The 15% of real tree that's there. And,
right, that's true, too.
And against green screen out in the real world, which...
Yeah, on location, like, but filled with green screens.
Looking back feels like silly.
But it was for that reason, is so that we could shoot this and get more dusk stuff.
Sure.
And yeah. Always having a little bit of reality is nice.
Yeah, agree.
Wait. I just want to mention this was a reshoot on Tabe's line, on Dakota's line. Dakota Beavers plays Tabe. Amazing. First ever acting thing ever.
When the line comes, you tell that thing, this is as far as you go. No more.
And especially, I think, in that moment and a few of the others, like, driving home that this is as far as I go, which came from an email Jane sent me at one point about, it was a Comanche saying. Of what is, I mean, someday this should be in a movie also, is what it would be is when they were in battle and they were done for.
Yeah.
They would take an arrow, take their breechcloth, mm-hmm. tether themselves to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And say, this is as far as I go, yeah. No more. This like as if you're not pushing me back any yeah. further, I will stand my ground.
That would have been cool if he did that in the movie.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I mean, it was a, well, it was reshoots when I was looking through old emails and I saw that. I was like, oh my God.
So that tree was green screen behind it, even though we were on location. Like, yeah. We were like still far out in the woods.
Yeah, we had to have the green screen because the whole design of that sequence was to have Amber and the lion silhouetted. Because
otherwise, if there's something behind it,
it was just darkness.
They wouldn't be able to pull them out. Yeah, because it wasn't so the sequence is designed not so much to be lighting you guys on the tree as much as to see you silhouetted against the night sky.
So why did we not do that on the stage?
Well, one, stage space was limited.
And there is still a fair amount of it that's cameras looking down. Mm-hmm. And we would have had to have built a whole bunch of ground.
Yeah.
And that ridge.
Yeah.
Oh. This was lots of wires.
This was a bit that we thought we were going to rely heavily on your stunt double for. Tammy, amazing.
Yeah.
However, crazily enough, that's you. Like, you owned that tree. You were really, you feel like you enjoyed it.
I do. I love wires. Oh, okay. I love wire work. Yeah. I'm a little air monkey.
It's too bad that the audience can't see what we saw when we were shooting, which was the person pretending to be the lion as the reference, climbing sort of on all fours on the branch.
The guy
in gray.
They had drawn like a kitty nose on him and little whiskers on his cheeks as a joke. And he had, I don't remember if he even had like a joke, like little ears, little That's cat funny. Ears on top, which is what I was looking at for that whole thing.
Your brother carried you home.
What about the lion?
How they went after it.
I have to fight him.
No, you need to rest. Ika. Drink this tea. Ika. He survived because of your medicine.
There's something else out there. Tabe needs my help.
If your brother needed you, he wouldn't have brought you back here. You think the reason for Kotamiya is to prove you can hunt? But there's only one reason.
Survive. Did you always want to, like, did you guys always want to do real on location and stuff? Or were you, like, open to the idea of shooting on stages?
Creatively, yes. Personal life, no. I wanted to be on stage. This also, by the way, a great fake build of a lion, I think. I mean, there's no CG there.
It is built well, and it just makes him seem so strong.
Yeah.
He just throws it down.
It is heavy. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's legit. Yeah, yeah.
Did Alec build that as well?
Yeah.
As the Predator stuff? Yeah. Yeah. We should give him the shout out.
Yeah, Alec Gillis and Tom Woodruff Jr. of ADI, who have worked on every great movie you've ever seen. And all the Alien and Predator movies, practically, if not actually, did all the creature stuff in this movie, including even the little pneumatic snake we saw earlier, and the buffalo we'll eventually see, and obviously all the awesome Predator stuff. This, once again, was another great scene with the war chief addressing everyone. And there were just a few details in it that I think there was a lot of like, well, aren't they going to mourn the loss of people that die? You know, it all was very tricky. And then Angela found a way to craft a sequence just with this music and no words. And so it all just felt way more emotional than it was before. Much more linked to Nadu's POV, her experience of the situation.
Always trying to be, well, not always, but certain scenes be in the bubble, we called it, with Nadu and present things from her perspective, which is very interesting. But also getting rid of a lot of the dialogue. There were a lot of cool shots that I couldn't figure out how to fit into a dialogue sequence. So, you know, some fun rack focuses and things that, like, in a dialogue scene wouldn't work, but we could throw those in and make a montage, and that's always, I will never refuse the exercise of making a montage out of something that's a dialogue scene.
Oh, we took advantage of that.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Terrence Malick.
Yeah, like every day with Dan started with like, what if we, like, I'm in, let's do it, let's try it. Yeah. Didn't always work, but
that's so cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love, Angela, how you stripped everything back as much as you could, which is something that we were also doing crafting this film. It's just like stripping back and getting to the, just the really, really important stuff.
Yeah, something like this. I feel like this film could easily just be sensory overload in every single scene because there's so much going on. The environment is huge. Predator is huge. There's a lot of action and just pared back. And its essence, you know, sometimes just going to its essence was the right recipe.
I don't know if you guys remember that the night that we got shut down when we were shooting this fire.
The high winds. I don't remember it totally because I fell asleep when a lot of the catastrophe was happening.
It was like the one
I'm
of those.
I'm so offended by that.
Well, it was not during your acting scenes. It was while they were rigging lights and they were falling apart. Yeah.
I'm just offended that you got to sleep.
Oh.
Dan, I think, might be a really good napper.
I crashed.
There were a few times and we're working on something and I turn around on the couch behind me and Dan just fell asleep.
This is one of my favorite shots.
I'm known for that. Yeah, I love this.
One of my favorite shots in the movie.
I do love this.
Wait, what happened when we got shut down? I don't remember.
We went home.
But, like, why did we?
Because the wind.
You may not have actually been there because it may have been just shooting partiers and stuff.
Oh, maybe you, maybe you weren't. I mean, you were there all those evenings there, yeah.
I was always there.
Yeah.
I want to mention, no, but they actually probably cut you loose to have, so we had turnaround.
Maybe it was like a little piece, right? Yeah. When I was like getting.
Literally, like those everyone party, you walk away.
Yeah.
If they don't see, we'll show them. Gima.
I want to mention here, I love the scene.
Yeah, it's really
and
beautiful.
I love the look. Thematically what it is, but I really want to mention, the score is done by Sarah Schachner, who I found, I was playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla while we were prepping the movie. And
how, how many games influence? We could list the number of games that influence this movie.
There'll be more later. And I was like, God, this music is beautiful. Who did this? And I saw Sarah's name and I wasn't familiar with it. And then did a little bit of a dive on her and found other games that she had scored that I loved. And she was incredible. And we temp scored the whole movie with very modern, atmospheric, drone-y, brooding, very a lot of Sicario score was used. I love the idea of doing a movie set in a time period where the music didn't necessarily always reflect the music you expect to hear in that time period. But that sequence where she sets out, we had temped with the score from like Maleficent or Snow White and the Huntsman, or, you know, it's really big fantasy. Everyone was always bummed by it, but I loved it. I was like, oh man, I can't believe we're making a movie that could have score like this. This is incredible. We could have something that feels that anthemic. And Sarah found a way to like have a score for this movie that oftentimes was more modern and not what you expect. But then these moments that are ginormous, heavy, and inspiring and all those things.
It's just it's like a great epic theme.
Yes.
And epic. It was the one I remember when we heard it for the first time. I mean, it was like on repeat constantly. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
this is the movie. Yeah. This is the movie. And I know how excited you were by it,
oh,
too.
Man. Yeah. Beyond.
Yeah, and her score, I mean, it's so many different genres within this film. I mean, mm-hmm. The Predator has electronic elements. He has cello, and then we have that sweeping, you know, organic, orchestral thing for her journey. I mean, it's a testament to Sarah's versatility. She really knocked out.
Yeah, this scene is largely electronic, and sometimes when you think it's electronic, it's actually cello, and she specializes in that, and when you hear cello, I think it's all her.
She performs it all herself. She plays a lot of these. She has like an upright bass, and she does amazing things.
There's so many times where I thought like, oh, well, this part with the electric guitar, and she's like, no, that's cello. Oh, oh wow. Because she uses instruments in unexpected ways. That's a build. I think it's augmented, but that's another Alec and Tom build, I believe. This was all shot in California. Most of the movie was shot in Alberta, but that sequence was done in California.
Yeah, I had to remove a few like power lines back then. But
this makes no sense, but it works.
That was
and
so. That,
and you're holding that, right?
That was That was.
Or did
one
we flick
of
it up a little, bit?
It was both. So the challenging thing with that stuff was like the terrain. So we had. Right. Practice. I mean, as soon as I got cast, you were like, always have something on you that you can like twiddle or twirl or just like get good with your hands. Mm. You were like, even if it's just like a pencil. So I was like always, you know, doing stuff like that.
I think we sent you.
Yeah. And then
prop
I
thing.
Asked
I was
if
like,
you could send me some. And none of them were that, but it was like still, at least I had something. Mm-hmm. And then at home we had throwing axes anyway. So I was like, okay, well like, but those are sharp. So I was like, okay, I'm going to like figure out weight and dimensions and stuff. But that is so much of what maneuvering it is about, and then the terrain. So in the training camp, that
and
was
by the way,
what I
you
was
just,
doing.
Let me just say, I think you made a couple of those. I don't know if it's like sticked in the tree.
Yeah.
But you did a couple that nailed it, that bounced it because it hit the
more
tree.
More than a couple.
And had a couple returns too. That were
It was because the challenges were, because we did that. That was like so much of what I did during the training camp, was just working with the tomahawk. We would stick it in cardboard boxes and then I would pull it. Because we were also learning how it would move and what I had to do to, like, how hard I had to yank it, how fast it would come at me, where I have to catch it, what looks cool. And then when we got out there, the rope was getting stuck in the tall weeds and, like...
Things you can't expect.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we're in the elements.
That would make it hard. So I spent all that time getting it in real life, and then we had to figure it out differently on the day.
I remember scouting this location, snapping on snowshoes.
Mm. Oh, this is the snowshoe location.
This is the snowshoe location. Because when we scouted, it was winter, so we could shoot in the summer. Went, I guess this will look good when this all melts, you know?
It was so beautiful.
But it was beautiful.
It was also really scary because that is a sheer cliff right there. And it is far down. Also, that was teeth brushing.
We're hell-bent on having... I've always wanted to appear in a movie where you see someone do something mundane and understand how it was done then. And then, what was it? It was like a reed or something?
Mm-hmm. That was something that I really respected about one of our first conversations is you were like, anytime... you have any ideas or anything to put in there, especially about like day-to-day stuff, like how people brush their hair, how you brush your teeth, what you sleep on, things like that. I love all those things, and please incorporate that kind of stuff. I think that's so interesting, and I thought that was so cool to do.
So this sequence was not always in the movie, was a reshoot to kind of do what the original Predator movie did, you know, train people to understand that this guy's a trophy hunter, that he's there looking for the alpha and for the coolest trophy. And so we concocted this scene that alludes to that sequence in the first movie where you just see a really cheesy 80s poof of smoke and then a skull. We thought, oh, now we have the ability, let's show like what that stuff does, you know? So we developed this cool effect to reveal the skull and then find a really iconic image of him in that mountain. So some of these are builds.
Yeah, the first like three or four, I think.
That one.
Yeah,
you know,
that one for sure, yeah.
Yeah, is an ADI build. Horrifying.
This scene made me really sad.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Yeah, those are real. Well, those are builds. Okay. Those are practical. It's really, real I mean, props. It's gnarly. It's a good... I don't want to misspeak, but I know someone on the team there at ADI had worked on the Triceratops in Jurassic Park, that practical Triceratops, and may have been the person that did these buffaloes.
Oh, wow. I think this prayer was something that got given to me that day.
Very likely.
Same thing, actually, with the Comanche that I spoke to the dog in the last scene.
All of it because we were trying to be as accurate as possible, and Jane was always getting in touch with the language department and like making sure that it was right.
Yeah.
And sometimes that would come down to the wire.
We're always trying to figure out where we could put in Comanche and what had to be in English. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, so mm-hmm, a lot of it was like or Jane or even me being like, well, could we add a Comanche line here? But then that would also mean I had to learn a Comanche.
True.
Saying right then.
Accurate statement.
Yeah.
Accurate statement. Dane DeLegro playing the Predator, great guy, great work ethic, made this thing very unique and one of the cooler entries into movie monster legacy, his performance, I think. So as we will see much more of him. Okay, here we go. We have stories, right?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Do you remember like which one? Well, we shot this for 5 days.
Yes, we shot this for 5 days because I've heard you talk about this in many interviews. you enter and we can shoot a little bit with you in it and then that's it.
Yeah, I'm in the mud, I'm in the
once
mud.
Once you're in the mud and then you get cleaned up,
there
so we
is.
Can't do multiple.
The
so
day is done.
The day is done. So then right we can't there. Do multiple. So we do everything from this angle, right? Everything from the side of you entering. Now, here's a shot from another night. We can't do those on the same day.
Yeah.
This would be on different days because the cameras would see each other, obviously.
I remember. We did have multiple cameras, right? Like, it would be like two or something.
From the same side.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
So it's front, back profile. So it's probably 3 days.
And overhead,
right.
Or yes. Was that later? No, yeah.
Overhead could have been done at the same time.
And I understand that mud was pretty smelly, not the best. Or yeah.
Could you smell it from where you guys were sitting?
I tried to be far enough away.
When you get close to it, and as I've mentioned before, like it wasn't smelly. You'd walk around, you'd have no idea. As soon as the first person entered it, like as soon as flesh touched it, for whatever reason, well, it emitted.
Opened the vacuum something. Or something.
Right, it was
like...
that covering layer would kind of seal it in. Oh. And then Amber would go in and it'd be like, oh, this is awful.
You would stir. It's like a pot of soup.
It was really
bad. You
know, bad.
When it's sitting there versus like when you stir it.
And you couldn't really hear. I was like
kind of
doing charades to like, you know, I mean, you know, Rich was great in your ear trying to tell you what to do.
No, I didn't have an earwig.
Oh,
I had earplugs because that mud couldn't get in my ears.
So we were like yelling at you like crazy.
Yeah. So at one point you came out and you just hit and you were just screaming at me and you were trying to like.
So you could get out of the mud.
You were not screaming at me.
Yeah, let's be careful with our words.
You are not a screamer. Yeah. you were speaking loudly
so
that
hear.
I could hear you. Yeah. And also trying to charade me around. And I do remember Yeah, this was disgusting.
Yeah.
I remember when I did this, and then a little glop fell on my forehead, and I was like, that's the grossest thing ever. And I think it was the first time we had done all the struggle, and I was like, how do I get out? And you were like, just get out. You're like, I don't know, crawl. I don't know if I can, it's too heavy. And you were like, yeah, go.
Because we were shooting that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see you
actually
struggle. Yeah, yeah.
And I did get out.
Yeah.
I was very proud of that.
Was it cold as well?
Yes, it was so cold.
Is it cold? Oh,
it was cold and it was scratchy. Because all of the plants in there, I could feel like, am I getting little cuts and are they really dirty? I remember thinking that. Look how thick it is. Mm-hmm. So it got also like all in my, I was wearing a wetsuit, which did not end up really helping. It just made everything heavier. All the weapons, like my moccasins, everything, my hair got so heavy and weighted down because all that water and all that mud went into my clothes.
This was designed intentionally to be like, oh, if you've seen a Predator movie before, you assume she's in the mud. That's how it's not going to see her. And then the second later, she's washing herself off and go, oh, that's not, this movie's going to do something different, you know?
There you are.
Now we have the bear scene.
This was, I think, one of the more challenging things we did because of the location. We had to helicopter equipment in because it was so inaccessible.
Yeah, and take a raft across the river get to. And I'll just say,
it's like the Oregon Trail.
The first iteration in screenplay was you and Predator both watching a bear attacking, seeing who's the victor, and the Predator sort of analyzing. And a lot of it had to be adjusted per budget. We couldn't afford that many effect shots. And that's where the idea came from to set so much of it in the beaver dam. Because it would mean we'd only saw things in pieces and just have a few shots and this and that, which ended up being a way better sequence than what it was. But it all came from having limited funds. There's very economic use of how and when we see the bear. By the way, I remember you being on top there and you having your phone out. and we had no reception there.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? What is she looking at on her phone? And then one time I was like over your shoulder and you had your phone out and you had the script. And we were like giving you new things all the time, you know? And I was like, oh, that's what she's doing on her phone. Like, but then you would like hide it. You hid it under a rock.
Mm-hmm.
You always had fun little hiding spots.
Yeah, I always had it on me.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was in my tunic. A lot of times it was in my bag because that was a functional bag. Sometimes I hid it in my moccasin.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Which was hard because that was like really tied on there. Behind a rock, under a leaf, behind a tree.
Wow.
I was taking lots of pictures. I was looking at the
You were taking pictures too.
I took a lot of pictures. Yeah.
Which is great.
So this interior was in a tank, all on blue screen.
Mm-hmm. Outside still.
Oh yeah, outside. And was this cold? I think this was, did they heat this or was this cold as well?
I think it might have been heated, but it was really cold.
Yeah.
But don't you think watching it now, I'm still a little confused why it had to be a tank.
Versus?
Just being a set, piece of set. We didn't need the water element.
Because I dive into the...
I mean, I sort of agree with you,
like,
though.
So far, we haven't needed...
massive overkill.
I think it's her coming up, the one time.
Just that one.
That one little piece, but I just feel like we could have...
Massive overkill?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I said that a lot, too.
You probably did.
Okay.
For this, when we were doing that, again, I was out in the middle of that tank and you guys were in the tent. So Rich, our first AD, was relaying your notes and the beats. Again, yelling. Nobody was yelling at me.
Yeah. It was outside. It was hard to hear.
We had to speak loudly. We had to yell. He was like giving me so many like, okay, look up. Brave, scary, da 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 da. You know, you get so lost in that. We would go for so long. Like, we would do such long takes. And so when I ended up seeing that sequence, and understanding how clear the beats were, they were not that clear when we were shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, oh my gosh, is that what I was looking at? Because I would have done that different. Especially when the bear lays down next to me, dead. I was like, that's what I was supposed to look at?
because, when we were calling them out as you were doing it live.
Yes, because got out of order and that was so chaotic that I obviously knew what the scene was and what the beats were, but I didn't know where we were all the time.
For that shot,
that's
why.
That's Tank 2.
Right.
That's why.
But did we have to?
But we had to. But
that
she goes.
Water, this is not Tank. This is not
Yeah,
Tank.
This is River.
That's River.
This is real River.
But
which
the reverse.
Is crazy, and thank you for doing that. Yeah. Amazing. It's a great shot, and, you know, couldn't have done it without you.
It was really fun.
Obviously. But couldn't have done it without your moxie to do it.
It was
you know?
Fun. That river was so cold.
This is not you.
Because
that
was not.
This is not even our movie.
I don't know
what I should say. This is footage from. Our VFX supervisor also worked on Call of the Wild, which is also a 20th Century Fox movie.
This is Back to Us.
But this is Back to Us, though.
This is Real River again.
Yes.
This was fake Amber, Real River.
No, this is CG arms. Wait.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What are you...
Your arms were covered in wetsuit.
That's right.
You had a long wetsuit on, and we needed to use the shot because, you know.
Oh, the river was so cold.
The river was so cold. We couldn't do it.
It was all glacial runoff water. Yeah.
So we had incredible effects artist. Painted over,
made the wetsuit look
through 2D compositing, made flesh out of your arms. Absolutely incredible.
I did wonder about that.
Yeah.
I did wonder how that happened.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Looking for you. Your brother sent us to bring you home.
Where is he?
Searching for you on the other side of the pass. Where are you going?
I saw it.
Saw what?
I saw what left those tracks.
A bear?
There was a bear, but there was something else, and it was huge. I couldn't see it until it was covered in blood, but it looked like a moot beats.
You saw a monster from a children's story?
It fought and killed a bear with its hands, easily.
How come it didn't kill you?
Stop! Going home. Enough!
This is awesome.
This fight?
This is all you, and this is you and Stormy, who plays Wasabi, the guy who's beating you up. We're trying to.
That's Cody.
It's Cody Big Tobacco. That punch is brutal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you guys really, it's such a less genre-y fight, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so nice to see in the movie, and yeah, you're just so terrific in it.
You wanna leave? Then leave. We're going home.
Should we talk about the thermal camera that we actually shot with a real thermal camera?
Yeah, go for it.
Like the original Predator, so that we wanted to have that as much in camera as possible. Although we did have the same problems they had, which was if it was too hot, you wouldn't actually get everything would be red and yellow.
Yeah, the production of this movie disproves the way that the Predator works. because as we learned when we're shooting, when you put on the thermal vision, everything is hot. Because we're outside and the hot sun is baking the ground. So the ground is also hot. So we had to cool off and do some other filtration. But
shoot things later or early or late before or after it was too hot.
Yeah. This was interesting where we talked to an advisor about how going to the bathroom might have worked.
You did?
And yeah, that was the idea of being in a tree and squatting and holding yourself.
Oh, was he?
Yes, he's meant to be going to the bathroom.
In a tree?
Well, no, he's not up in the tree.
Oh.
When you're crouching, you have some support. Yeah, holding a tree.
It was researched.
It was yeah.
It was
which I always thought was really clever. I was like, oh yeah, that's better than just crouching. Remember, we talked a lot about phases of makeup.
Yeah.
I've always loved this aspect of your performances. We see you so much with your face paint, and then we're in the section of the movie where it's gone, and then when it comes back.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's no colors, and the design doesn't change, really. Yeah, we had a lot of conversations about how to, I think, kind of express or represent a different portion of the film. And we kind of broke it up into chapters that way, of marking Nadu's journey by the face paint and what the face paint is doing. Is it there? What is it made of? Because later, then I put it back on, but it's made of ash.
Yep. I remember going back and forth on, is it cool that you would start out with none, and then you put it on later and go, oh, now here she is, or is it cool that you have it and then you're without it, so it feels like you're more bare. And that was the nature of the conversation.
I like the way that we did it.
Also, yeah, I agree.
Do you remember when we got in a fight over what color it was?
Oh, yeah. No, and who wins that fight?
I do. I definitely did not win.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you were not wrong. Well, because you thought it was blue, right?
I thought it was blue. You said it was black. But I think there's blue in the black, and there was.
It was green.
Right, there's green in the black. Yeah. Also, we enhanced that in color later with Cody.
Hey, Camilo.
Stay down.
I just want to shout out, first of all, I love that reveal. And Tymon, so that's Cody Big Tobacco, we mentioned before, and Tymon Carter. We missed it, but when he yells, when just before they clash,
his
war cry is it gave me chills every time I saw it. We were all like, whoa, this is like, we're really doing this.
Yeah, I remember everybody being amazed at how well their fight, I don't know, when finally there was like the take that they were really ready to like let loose kind of the first time and they could just go through it, how much those two brought it.
Very upsetting because of how he performed it. I didn't even imagine it all being that way. And
that was a really cool sequence to shoot.
And you flipping the thing. Which was
the tomahawk.
Very, you know, that was one of the first ideas I had. Is like, she's going to do something cool. I just wanted you to have little flourishes that made it feel like Nadu has this dexterity that is special. I didn't think you were going to do that. And we were going to move on right before the big storm came. We had to.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was another one that I kept. We would practice it and I would get it every time. Yeah. And then as soon as we got there, I couldn't do it.
And you said, I just. One more. You like gave me a really serious look, and I'm like, if she does this, this will be like the story we tell, where she gave me this serious look, and it actually worked. I didn't think it was actually gonna, you know, those moments never work for me in my life. It's like, but maybe Amber special. And you did it, and it worked, and it was. I was like, oh my god, like the camera, you know, wraps around as you do it. Like I could not believe this, that all worked.
Cody Big Tobacco here also had a wire stunt that he did himself.
He was actually hired as a stuntman. To do the stunt, you know,
that's
and then
right.
and then it's like, oh,
yeah, that's
great.
The wire.
Yeah.
But he had a better wire in the beginning. Whenever I'm crawling from behind the log,
that
oh yes,
kind of in the back,
and he's thrown,
and he's like launched up into the air upside down and then over the log. And I remember him doing that, and he was just so amped up.
This was the tall grass sequence we were referring to earlier. We were able to do all that at the right time of day,
and that we grew that grass.
We grew that grass.
Could not find a field that had the grass we wanted. So in prep, in the very beginning, we said, this is where we want to be. And they planted all that grass.
Our production designer, Carl Lindstrom, and our greens, Tom Green, our greens guy, his name was Tom Green, did the science, worked it out. It was a real nail biter because the whole point is tall grass, not just grass.
Yeah.
And they like, well, we hope it's between this and this, but it's nature and we don't know. It was such a nail biter the whole time. Like, but is it gonna? Because the sequence is dependent on that, you know?
Crazy.
And it worked out. It was very scary.
Also, we were by a real river that day. And I remember Harlan, who plays Itse in the tall grass, he made you
I still
arrow.
Have it.
Really?
Yeah, still have
he
it.
He built you an arrow
yeah,
out
he
of
made
just
me. Yep.
rocks and a stick that he found and some like bark that he used to tie it together.
He posted on Instagram recently him the construction of it. I'm like, oh, that's the thing that I have.
You're like, it's still in my house.
Thank you.
Qu'est-ce qu'elle fait ici?
Je vais la porter.
Elle va nous ralentir.
Non. Pour la façon qu'elle courait, je crois qu'elle a vu.
This was on a stage. It's funny, I thought that being on a stage would be like a nice break to being like outside every day, but there was something in that dust.
Made the atmosphere?
The smoke.
Yeah.
There was something in the smoke, well, also the...
Oh, the ground.
That was in the ground.
Yeah.
Oh.
That I remember, I don't think I told anybody this at the time, it made me like, I couldn't breathe. Because it would like get kicked, and because I was like on the ground the whole time, it was something that I would like breathe it in. I feel like there were a lot of people that were having that. That it was like people were coughing, and there was like, yeah, I was like coughing up black stuff. And
Sometimes the atmosphere stuff can do that.
This is during COVID, so we were all in masks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
so
right.
That's part of why you would have been more affected by
that's
it.
That's right.
Everyone's I don't know what her problem is. We're fine.
I remember asking some of the other, you know, like people who are also like in it like I was, like, is this happening to you? And they were like, yeah, there's something wrong with that. And I was oh cool, but you know, we're all fine.
I just want to mention Stephanie Porter, who did our costumes, incredible, and this big beard. That little punch-in of him was in the reshoots. It was just, I had an idea after we shot, starting on that bear on his shoulder that you never really saw, but as part of the wardrobe. And then him turning around and that thing, and was like, thankfully we were doing reshoots, and I was like, oh, can we do the thing that was like killing me?
That was a great reveal. Some of that ended up actually being, even though we shot it on the stage the first time, it ended up also being outside on location.
All these guys are great. Bennett, who plays Raphael right here.
So good.
This crew was just, these guys who are not in that many scenes in the movie had to be with us the entire shoot because they were our cover set, meaning because we were shooting so much in nature, we had to always have a backup plan of a set we would go to in poor weather. And so the backup was obviously the stage work, and the stage work was the scenes with them. Otherwise, they would have just been around for like a week, you know, but they actually had to be there the entire time.
And Bennett had to do some of his coverage to my double, right? Because
yes,
we were so lucky with not having any COVID shutdowns.
Yes.
Not a lot of COVID cases, but there was one that we had, and I got close contacted.
Yeah.
And I remember you told me at the beginning of the movie, please be so careful,
mm-hmm,
because you are the only person that if you get COVID, this movie will stop. You're like, I can get COVID and direct.
Yeah, I can do
home.
It virtually. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are the only person. And so I was very careful. And also, it happened over a weekend, so I only had to miss, mm-hmm, like a half a day and then one day. And then, mm-hmm, it was done.
Forêt sauvage! Sautez-lui de la sacrée boîte! D'une façon ou d'une autre, tu vas nous aider. Fais le saigner!
This cut that happens is precisely how Billy in the original Predator cuts himself across the chest. That was by design, that is the exact angle.
Are you hurt?
Oh, they tried. On n'avait pas de péter les chevaux. Faites les terres, on n'avait pas.
Here we go.
The burnt glade. Well, this is the one that we did discuss. We tossed around in the beginning a lot about whether we would shoot this on stage.
Yes. I was a big... This was, to your earlier question, this was the thing that I was like, I wanted us to do this on stage.
But ultimately, I think we're glad.
We were.
Well, the thing that didn't allow this, I don't know if you remember this, the art department had a bill.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to put dirt, just the dirt on the stage was going to be $3 million.
What?
And we're like, well, we're obviously not doing that. So, yeah, we just had to shoot it outside. And I think ultimately everyone's very happy that we did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Although it was a massive, the biggest challenge we had was dealing with the smoke here for 8 days.
Yeah. You'd go to set and it would look like a bright, sunny day. And you're like, well, this is not the scene. And then eventually you get the smoke in there and you go, oh, that's the scene. So it's just, it's like only a scene when the smoke's there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny. I remember a lot of like the smoke would start up and so maybe a gust of wind would come and it would clear out. So they would amp it up, but then smoke would come in so strong that even if the camera was like 2 feet away from our faces, it was so thick you couldn't see us. So it was like a really delicate, it felt like a really delicate balance of getting it thick enough that it makes the scene, but not so thick that you can't see anything.
Naru.
And you guys could not hear each other on...
No, this we had earwigs.
Yeah. Just and... to, even though you were literally a foot away from each other, you had earwigs so you could hear each other because it was...
Or did
you
fans.
Have... Oh, because the fans.
Because the giant fans that were blowing in the smoke.
Yeah.
We couldn't hear each other over them, so we had to have earwigs in to hear each other.
But I think we benefit from... See, even in that, you see... This is a CG hand, but the face was real, and I think it's one of the best looking shots of a Predator. People complain about there being any CG in the movie when you have Predator, because it's what a great practical effect, and it is so great when it's practical, but sometimes you have CG, sometimes you can see it, I apologize, sometimes you can't.
This was also partially cut up into the original
Reshoot original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It doesn't want bait, it doesn't hunt that way.
I feel like this was such a crazy set for Dane to walk around in, because... He couldn't see, obviously.
To explain, he was looking out the Predator's neck.
Mm-hmm. And this, again, with the terrain, posed a challenge for everybody in a unique way that he couldn't see. And this was really early on in his...
Yeah.
When he started shooting with us.
Yeah.
Him figuring out how to, like, navigate an environment.
And the head was on top of his head. That wasn't always the case with the Predator design, but we wanted to make our Predator a little slimmer, less top-heavy. I always felt like the heads could end up feeling a little bobble-heady. So we changed some of that stuff around so Dane would have to bend over and look down through the eye sockets in the neck to see. So I think they just basically placed a lot of, like, rock. He would memorize, like, this rock and this stick and whatever.
And he did have an earpiece, so they could tell him, like, move right, do this.
Yes.
That's right.
We can kill it.
A lot of these extra fur trappers are family. I believe our hairstylist and her husband.
Oh, that's right. Her husband is a stuntman.
Stuntman. And they're all like brothers.
That's
they're
right.
They're like this gang.
I was like, who's family?
Yeah,
family to each other.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not,
I was
not,
like,
not
your
my,
family?
Not my family.
That's what I thought for a second. Yeah. I was like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the net ball and the cut clamp.
This is such a great Predator sequence. Just Predator being super cool.
Yeah, it's, I think it's such an audience favorite because you can kind of root for, even though the Predator is the villain, here's a sequence you can actually root for him because the fur trappers are actually even more annoying. Like, they're worse than the Predator. At least you sort of understand his motives.
Mm-hmm. It's a great moment.
That
biggest laugh.
Yeah. And also, I just want to say that shield was a direct lift from the video game God of War that also was a favorite of mine that I was playing before making the movie.
That's cool.
Definitely was exciting to find a way in which we could enjoy the Predator, doing the Predator stuff, while not sacrificing the way we feel about our heroes, you know? And this idea came from Jeff. Was like, we were trying to figure out a way to do the sequence visually interesting, and Jeff was like, what if the whole scene is like you're behind the trees and you're just seeing people get like impacted? Which was such a cool idea. You know, I still wanted to maintain some cool Predator violence, but that's what inspired the thought of like, oh, maybe there's one beat where we're behind the tree and it's the most gruesome thing the Predator does, but it's all implied. We see some of it, we don't see all of it.
That's really cool. Yeah, this is such a cool sequence to root for the Predator.
Mm-hmm.
I have a plan. Get down! Yeah.
That's another audience favorite right
yes.
there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Big laugh there.
I saw a beaver that had its legs pinned between two rocks.
This story, how badly did you think this was not going to make it in the movie as you were doing it?
I'm trying to remember. I just remember thinking, like, is this working? Like, I just remember thinking, like, how do you make this story cool?
Yeah, I felt the same way. So we kept on, like, changing little lines and, like, trying to figure it out. But actually, it works. And people like, we actually cut it from a cut. And then saw it and was like, oh, why isn't that in the movie? That's great. And I was like, it is? And I was, like, so self-conscious about it. And then we put it in and everyone, like, responded great to it. And I was like, oh, I mean, as he's typing it in, I just want to point out, that is the Close Encounters theme.
Wow.
You're trying to figure, well, what should I do? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's do.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Wait. Nada. What are you doing, Nada? Nada, stop.
You're right. It's coming back to me. I remember how insecure you and I both were on the day about that.
I'm smarter than a beaver.
We were like, is this working? I don't think this is working.
And I'm smarter than a beaver is like isolated. You know, you're like, is this a line?
That felt
so
silly.
It felt so silly, but actually it's quite winning, so.
Yeah, I forget which screening it was, but like one of our premieres somewhere, it either got a laugh or I think it got an applause.
Yeah.
And I remember being shocked. I think it was the first one, maybe at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I think it was.
Applauded, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
This was at one point scripted to be a bunch of flechettes that pop out. It was always play with the idea that the expectation, if you're a Predator fan, might be, oh, is this the giant explosion? But this is an earlier version of the Predator. This is before they have all the plasma nuclear weaponry. Mm.
I love this shot. I love the way, because I think that this, like, without the discs, it just looks so, like, it's a totally different movie, a totally different genre.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, what you did there, and then what they were doing, and their costumes, and the color, and everything, that's one of those very against-type pieces of the movie, is to me. Every time I see it, I'm like, it just feels so real. Here we are.
Here we are. Okay, so coming up, talked about this before, this sequence really went back and forth. And this is, I grew up on Hong Kong action movies. I was desperate to make a real melee action scene and had yet to be able to fit that into anything I was working on. And this was like, even in this movie, there wasn't a lot of excuse to have one. But here we go. This was a way to unleash. I have very particular feelings about action choreography being easy to follow, have bits of clever, but also being legible. And we designed the whole scene to be traditional with cuts so that we could see everything. Because the whole fun of the gag is that Nadu is like reacting to what's happening to her, and she's cleverly improvising, like, oh, I'm gonna grab this then I'm gonna grab this, and then, okay, I can't, and you know. And I was nervous about being able to articulate that in a one-er. And then we were told we had one day to shoot the scene. That would have been 3 days if we did traditional coverage. So we made it work as a one-er. And it's awesome. And Sarah's music's awesome for it and gets a nice little applause break at the end that I think is wonderful.
This is one of the ones that in publicity I lied, not on purpose. because there were sequences that we would do literally so last minute.
Yeah.
And that I would be learning them at lunch.
Yeah.
And I remember this one I was learning at lunch, and so I was like, this whole sequence we learned in like 3 lunch breaks.
It's a great story though.
And I think on this very Blu-ray that you're watching right now, there's going to be some special features of you
learning it in the
on
training
mats camp. And cardboard boxes training it over and over and
that
over again.
That is not true. Apparently you brought it back to me. What it was is that we made changes to the fight that then had to be learned over the course of several lunches along with different fight sequences. But that actually was the fight that we started choreographing the earliest and practiced the longest.
this cut was your idea, Jeff. Am I wrong?
You're right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying, wow, that's a great idea. Where's this guy? Where's this idea guy been this whole time?
Yeah, this was, Amber, you questioned this, and you were right. We get away with it, but you were like, why am I not talking? And I was like, because it's a cool Clint Eastwood moment. And then, you know, heard people's reactions of like, do they speak the same language? Which has always been a challenging thing.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily. I created confusion because I thought that was a cool stoic thing. And I remember you pointing it out, and I should have listened to you on the
day. Not stoic.
Yeah.
I would have forgotten about that if you hadn't reminded me. And it doesn't bother me watching it. I think it felt weird in the moment.
Right.
I like this scene a lot.
And props to Bennett. I had this idea. It was not quite scripted exactly like this. And I had this idea of just before breaking for lunch that the scene should be him describing it all to you as you're healing him and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we got together with whoever the specialist was on these guns. And I said, so how does this work with you guys there? Or maybe it was just Bennett, I don't remember. And he described like, okay, first you take this and you put in the thing, I said, okay, so Bennett, that's what you'll say. He's like, okay. And I've heard him talk about this in other interviews where he was like, so I spent all lunch writing it. Yeah, I think he said he showed it to you and you were like, okay, cool. You know, and like, and he's like, is this really happening right now where I'm just like making, like, I don't understand this. And then.
That is what happened. He had like a document in like his notes app.
Last thing. It's okay. Put the powder here. Then pull that buck and it will fire.
And he was, I'm going to say this and then you're supposed to say something like that and I don't know who's going to tell you that. Maybe you just figured out or maybe, I wrote something but I don't know. And yeah, that sounds like what we're doing.
Sometimes there are things that when they're last minute, if I were to tell all the departments and everyone that we're changing things, it would be a freak out.
Yeah.
So I let sort of happen organically. So I'm like, oh, well, you're okay. And then, oh, I just had this idea just now, even though I like had it a while ago, but it would have been bad if I hadn't, you know.
Secret.
But if you have an idea on the spot, then everyone just has to flow with it.
Yeah.
So.
I think that's sometimes better than just causing the
unnecessary
panic.
Exactly.
The other thing to really credit Bennett for is he had to perform this whole scene with his leg bent back.
Yes.
And then buried in the dirt when he was laying
there.
Yeah,
this portion, it's in the dirt. Yeah,
There's like a hole, there's like a Bennett leg-sized hole in the ground.
Yeah.
That flop that he does is, to this day, my favorite non-Amber action, physical action in the movie.
I love Bennett's performance. And Bennett's such a cool dude.
There was a whole cut where we had a fake spider crawling over Bennett that the predator sees the spider on him, and that's why he impaled. This took a lot of figuring out of how can we articulate to the audience the rules and what you're learning and teaching them as well. I think we landed on the right thing, but his performance lent itself to having that spider crawling in him. Like, it looked like he was freaking out about it.
There he goes.
Yeah. I remember so much the weather of each day. We were there for so long, the weather really changed.
We look at Amber there. There's a cut that doesn't make any sense. I think it's coming up.
Thanks.
See it, Amber's there. No, that's what's amazing about it. Because maybe we pass it. I remember there's a cut that... That continuity-wise makes no sense, but it's one of those things where, but Angela, yeah, and now you've You just turned around.
Oh.
But then you're like coming from the other direction, moved. Like sitting down.
Oh, yeah. Maybe later.
There's a few I really wanted to point out because it's the Angela magic.
It's a lot of me behind different trees, I remember.
Once again, props to Dakota for being like less of a horse rider than our editor of this movie, Angela, and trained on this horse and did 99.9% of all of this stuff on the horse.
Him there, he did that jump for real.
He did the jump for real. There is whether
and he was on
not.
Wires,
he was on wires.
On wires, yes.
Sure,
yes.
Not,
and he did all of this fight,
yeah. I remember that.
It's tremendous working at TJ Maxx one day and then jumping around doing all this stuff the next day.
He added that line, right?
Yeah, which he added that line, which means cheater. And it's so fun whenever I hear people's reactions, when I'll watch on YouTube, the people reacting to the scene, and they all say, fuck, that guy is cheating, you know? They don't even know Dakota is saying the next second exactly what they just said.
Oh, that's so funny. You know?
Run, Naru. It thinks I'm the threat. This is as far as I go. No more. This is it.
No.
Bring it home.
That's why the Comanche language version of the movie is interesting. I was so surprised when I watched it. It really kind of changes the dynamics in ways that feel subtle, but then end up being quite important. I think that feel serious in English, it kind of fly by in Comanche and then vice versa. All the predator blood had to be... What was it? It was like glow in the dark. Somehow was that enhanced?
It was. We had different versions of it. There was some portion of it comes from glow stick fluid. The glow stick fluid stuff could be on the predator's suit?
Not on people's skin. Even the suit.
No, there's something different on the suit versus on an object, right? Because on an object, it could be full on glow stick. On the suit, they didn't want it to
Yeah, it was probably a combination because it was eating through the suit a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember when it would come through and everyone would be like, don't touch it.
And it all was a substance that was then specifically designed to then be enhanced. The stuff on your face at the end is almost entirely... You had stuff there, but we designed it better.
Because it didn't glow.
It didn't glow, and it wasn't great.
Because that would have been dangerous for my face. I remember that was a challenge of figuring out how to do that.
It's a lovely, lovely moment. This is firing on all cylinders. I think it's beautifully shot, beautifully cut, beautifully performed. Like, he was great.
Sky,
amazing, who was one of the least experienced kids in the cast and had no idea what he would do. And it's so subtle, and you really feel like he's like having a hard time giving her the news, you know? And Michelle's, plays your mom, Michelle Thrush, gave so many different levels of that performance that Angela was then able to like just give us little slivers up, and just seeing that sliver in at its apex of her feeling that pain is so amazing.
No words. I mean, there was dialogue. There was dialogue,
and it's another one. Angela's special.
Unnecessary, because the performances were so strong, just what they were doing visually.
And the Robert Mirabal music also was so beautiful.
Mournful. Gosh, Sarah just...
Over that sequence.
Yeah. Incredible job.
Yep.
Right, Sarah worked with Robert Mirabal on that.
Both montages are a combination of Sarah and then Robert Mirabal, who's a renowned Pueblo musician. Taos Pueblo. Plays lots of different instruments, I think, in unique ways. And
during the Buffalo Prayer.
Oh, the Buffalo Prayer is also Robert Mirabal.
Oh. Yeah. And then we tried it a couple of different places, repurposing it, and it worked so well. You know, we thought, oh, maybe we can have something like this. But in fact, it was exactly that that worked so well in those scenes.
That didn't actually, the cut clamp didn't actually open. So remember, you were like, look up.
That's a reshoot, too. Like,
not that high. Lower.
This is daytime piece of B-roll that we repurposed. And
really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Very heavily augmented.
This was partially real, like original shoot on stage and then mm-hmm. reshoot mm-hmm. out in the wild.
Not this shot, but yes, this scene.
The sequence.
Yeah.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we reshot this scene.
And this was another COVID. We had shot only his side, and you guys couldn't be there together. And then we also changed the dialogue once we figured out the... I don't know. I think just honing in on what we needed you to say. I'm trying to remember the difference. Because it's very similar.
I don't remember the original.
I don't remember it either.
I don't remember the original. I just remember, like, we clicked into... I remember there were really key moments, I think, throughout the movie, and not even all of them are in the movie, that you and I think clicked into kind of something that felt really magic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That I would compare to the magic that we felt in the test audition when we did the scene with no words,
mm-hmm.
where like you and I would go then reference that and go like, okay, this is
more of that vibe.
Yeah. More of this. It was kind of like our little, I don't know, like our pin board of like mm-hmm. mental pin board of going like, these are the bones of what we're making. And this, it's funny that it was so late in the game that it was literally reshoots,
mm-hmm.
but that was one of those moments when like mm-hmm. something just clicked in so good here.
I've found in doing reshoots on things, even though you feel like, oh my God, we're changing so much. But all of it ends up being the thing that always was the intention. We just didn't, at that time, have the way to articulate it.
Yeah, you know what was changed here was that Amber takes the flower in this scene where originally she takes it earlier. The plan becomes so much clearer. Everything is much more honed in.
And it just made the scene so much cooler that you were saying all this stuff to him. And then the whistle.
Yep.
Which was a Jane idea from...
It's different plains tribes believe if you whistle at night, you're calling bad things or you're calling spirits and it's not a good thing. You're not supposed to do that. And so as part of your wanting to always be open to ideas and especially putting in as much culture as possible, she had said like, well, what if we do like a whistle in the scene right before the predator comes? Because she's calling it in. And also she kind of at this point has nothing to lose and she wants it to come to her.
And you perform it in a way, if you don't know that fact, it just feels badass. But if you know it, it's a whole nother gear.
Yeah. You know? Jane came to me and was like, okay, so you're going to whistle. And we were actually shooting at night outside. And I was like, no. And she was like, that's okay. You're going to look like you're going to whistle and we'll have Rich whistle instead.
That's right. That's so right. You mimed it.
Yeah. I was not going to do that.
Yeah.
And so I just made my lips look like I was whistling. And then you guys put in a different whistle later. Also, that stunt, I think, is my favorite stunt of the whole movie, where I jump off the branch and onto his shoulders.
Uh-huh.
That was so fun. That was another wire work day.
I remember that, you guys training that.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. I got to stand up on that. It was like a platform. It wasn't a branch.
A lot of this scene, some of this is we filled in the gaps and reshoots, and then the stuff that wasn't was the last day of shooting.
We were on split, so we would do mud pit
day
during the evening, and then I would shower at lunch, and then come back, and we would do predator scene until the sun came up.
And this is the last day, the sun came up, and that was it. We'd gotten what we had gotten.
Thank you. this is what I actually, this was what got put together while we were shooting. During the
original part that we
shoot,
did in the original, yeah, we probably did not train that. You're
he
correct,
wasn't in.
Which is why we did reshoots also, because we did not ever get enough time to plan it out. So we had to, a lot of hold. We had like this moment and this moment and this moment. This was the moment we shot on the day. This is what we died on, I think, at the end of the shoot. But
I remember that. I remember seeing the sun come up behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. As you're on the ground.
Yeah. I remember thinking, we're almost done. That was crazy rapping during the sequence because we had been shooting for so long and the crew and everybody, and it was so like the people were clapping and cheering and celebrating and all this stuff. And I remember you came up to me like, it literally, it felt like a movie in the crowd, and you were like, you know, we're not done right now. And I because it didn't feel over to me.
Yeah.
You could sense that I was feeling that, and yeah, that's why you said that. And I was like, yeah, I figured we were
done. It's also a way of like not wanting to say goodbye. I love the music here. I want to give props to the sound design team, Craig Hennigan, Will Files, that whole crew, and Chris. Like, just the score was also so amplified on that mix stage, and this stuff coming together, it all was like so exciting as this came through. And they did so many unique things with sound. Boy, this thing, man, the way to articulate that this plan was for her to put that in the thing. I mean, it started off as a total, like, you never saw the helmet. You had, she took it, and then the whole fight scene happens, and this was the reveal. And I thought that was going to be so great that, oh my God, you would not expect. And it was a giant reveal to everyone at the same time that it's, you know, revealed to the Predator. And people just did not get it. And we, that's all that stuff is like, she places it there. She puts it there, and it's still some people.
Yeah.
That scream, that war cry.
The war cry.
I still get shivers.
Yeah, I can't.
Every time I get shivers.
Well, remember, I was sick.
That's what you were.
During the reshoots, and I texted you in the morning that we were supposed to do that. I woke up and I had no voice. And you were like, that's fine, just come to work, don't speak all day, and then we're going to try it. And if it sucks, we'll do it another time. And that was the first and only time I spoke that day. We only did it the one time, and you were like, okay, I think that's good. And I was like, I don't know what just happened.
Yeah, you really, it goes to a level that you just don't quite see in movies.
It was,
you know,
stressful. It's funny because we did the Comanche camp stuff all at the beginning of the movie. This was a thing that we would do at the beginning of the evening, and then we would shoot all night other Comanche camp stuff, and then when the sun came up we would go back and shoot the scene again. Like, it felt like Twilight Zone time warp, like we're just gonna live here for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, we'd just get like two shots and then we'd do something else. Mm-hmm. And come back to it.
And
yeah,
the way that you throw that gun to Julian and he catches it, I didn't say any, I don't even know if you guys, whatever, but it's exactly the way that Danny Glover catches it and handles it in Predator 2, which is obviously the illusion that we're doing, but I didn't ever reference that. I mean, I didn't like show that. Like, it just so happened that the way it's tossed and the way he catches. Jane and Kaz Kipp really spearheaded the construction of that animated sequence that was a very late in the game idea. All the hide art, a combination of traditional hide art with artists from all over coming together to put it.
All native artists.
To build it, all native artists, different tribes, and our animators, you know, and our title animators working together. I remember you told me the first time it was playing in Comanche country, and you guys, you and Jane were there, like, from, you could hear the theaters reacting.
I remember as part of the press tour, we went to Oklahoma and we did different screenings all at one time. And that was the first time I saw it in Comanche. And I didn't know I was going to watch the Comanche version. I remember I saw subtitles come on and I was like, oh my God, somebody needs to turn the subtitles off. This is a disaster. And and I was like, oh my gosh, because we introduced the movie each screening, but we only sat in one. And so when they were ending, you could like hear each one go off and like people, you know, people's reactions and the clapping and that was like really emotional and such a relief. That was the biggest relief to me, was knowing that, you know, the Comanche people accepted this movie and approved of this movie and you know, were proud of it. It was like a huge relief.
Juanita Padapony was the very first advisor we had. Her and her nephew, Dustin Tamacare, were the first people to look at the script or treatment or wherever we were at that stage. It was very early. She passed away before the movie eventually got to production. But she was amazing, and it really spoke to how important the movie could be, which really put a lot of pressure and inspiration, you know, on our shoulders to achieve something. This Craig Hennigan, Chris Terhune, awesome, awesome sound team.
I was gonna say,
but Mark Renton was the compositor who did your arms.
Oh,
and he saved the day on a variety of things.
He was like guy you call at the 11th hour. Like, was. Mark, we need a miracle.
He was a miracle worker, but and specifically, I mean, yeah, your arm, he that delivered. Stuff was.
It's funny because I can see that my arms are a different, like,
yeah,
I remember what they would look like, the shape of them, and like the size and everything. And I do remember being like, it's something, you know, detail only I would notice, that I remember when I saw it being like, oh, they did something, but I didn't think deeply about it. But I remember thinking, that is what my arm.
It's one of those things where it sets a bad precedent. You know, like, oh, we can do that. So then I'm going to not worry about that stuff anymore. You know, like, what else can we do? I mean, I think we just barely get by on it.
Yeah.
I'm not being totally serious, but it is spoil so impressive.
You, though, in a way.
It does. Like, it really does.
Because the crew was so skilled, and we asked a lot.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about Samia Crowfoot, and I think one of our scenes that really, that like you and I would reference a lot, and that we found as like a magic kind of marking point narratively, was the scene that's not in the movie with me and Samia Crowfoot, who plays the little girl.
Oh, little, yes, yes. Okay. Oh man, that day. Yeah, the day where you're kneeling down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the movie. So the girl that shows up at the end, and she's in briefly in the beginning when Dakota comes back with the lion. There was another scene where you're telling her how to string a bow, and it was the scene that set up, you say, don't get your bowstring dirty, which is then, of course, you do, which is the bear and all that stuff. And I was like, this is the best scene in the movie, you know, and of course it's not in it. But I remember when we were shooting it, I was like, because the wind It was gorgeous looking. You know, we were shooting in Alberta and Stony Dakota land. Props to the land and to the light. Like, just wherever you go in the world, the light of that part of the world brings so much to a movie or to your photography. And, you know, it was just so special looking. And it was like perfect light. And the wind was kicking up through both you and her hair. And it was a really sweet moment. You don't expect to see that kind of moment in a movie like this.
Yeah.
And it was, there were words, but it wasn't even about the word. You know, it was just so elemental.
It was like big warrior, little warrior. And it was so early on in the movie too that I feel like it was kind of in the time that Naru is still like not totally sure about, you know, like leaving and pursuing this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was part of it, is thinking, like looking at her and thinking like, no, I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember you came, because we had conversations about, like, you asked me if I wanted to see playback or watch dailies or anything like that, and we were like, I don't know, probably not, we'll figure it out. And I remember you came to me and it was not a question, you were like, come, I want you to look at this. And I was like, we're still shooting it. And you were like, no, I need you to look at this. And we watched it and you were like, this is the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, used that as like a marker for, I think, just something that words can't describe.
It was what you were doing.
I think it was afforded the ability to be vulnerable and to be honest, you know, and to, I think that it's like a surprisingly, you're not afforded a lot of gentle moments emotionally in this movie.
Right.
And, you know, because there's a lot of important things happening and a lot of people have a lot of goals and a lot of opinions. And so even, you know, in the family dynamics, it's like all very purposed. I think that was much like the Magical Angela moments, it was a moment that was allowed to breathe and to be, I think, kind of beautiful and tender and simple and gentle, which is not something you really saw from, you know, my character or from just, you know, the environment of the movie.
And is not in the movie.
And you don't see it in the movie.
And you don't see
it
in the movie either. No, but that...
Its spirit lives on.
And
infected, you know, and
it did
the rest of the film.
Because it was so early on. No, absolutely.
But then I think that we did figure out how to, like, that was an important part of the movie.
Yes.
And then that put its way into,
yes,
I think, being able...
We were like, oh, more of that, more of that.
Let's yeah, we needed that. More of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Thing.
Well, guys, here we are. We did it. We made the movie.
Wow. Can you believe that we... I was just saying this the other day. It's crazy that we spent, you know, like 5 or 6 months there, and that the movie is like 90 minutes. Like, we dedicated over 5 months to a thing that is 90 minutes. But it's obviously so much more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, let's just set the record straight. You're now looking at the runtime. The movie is like 92 minutes. It only climbs up when you watch our 10-minute credits, like you are right now. But I always, people look at the runtime that's like listed, they go, oh, you made a 100-minute movie, whatever. Like, no, it's actually shorter. Like, it's quite swift.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just one exciting ride.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dolby Atmos and DGC Alberta and SAG-AFTRA and MPA. We really appreciate...
IATSE. Couldn't do it without you.
Got all the American Humane Society. Really. I mean, frankly, you know, they did help us out in this movie. You know, we couldn't have made it without them. And thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.